Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast for December 26, 2023. I'm your host, John Lothian. In this podcast, we provide an overview of the content featured in today's John Lothian newsletter. We'll cover insights from the hits and takes section, share stories from the first read section, highlight the top three stories from the previous edition of JLN, and delve into the first three stories featured in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is brought to you by John Lothian News, the proud home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We invite you to explore our extensive collection of trading history videos on the MarketsWiki Education page at johnlothiannews.com. This includes the Open Outcry Traders History Project and the Path to Electronic Trading video series. Thank you for joining us. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The Wall Street Journal reports NASDAQ set to beat NYSE in IPO race for the fifth year in a row as UK chip designer Arm, which raised $5.2 billion in this year's biggest IPO, was among the companies to debut on NASDAQ. The Smarter Markets podcast with host David Greeley has a two-part series, including one that ran on December 23rd, featuring Abaxx Tech founder and CEO Joshua Crum, head of tech Ian Forrester, Abaxx Exchange president Dan McElduff, and Abaxx Exchange CCO Joe Rea. The second part of the series runs on December 30th. The subject of the series is, quote, what's next on their mission to create the market infrastructure and financial technology needed to build smarter markets, unquote. Many people prayed for peace on Christmas, including Pope Francis, who prayed and called for peace in Ukraine and Gaza, AFP reported. Did you get something for Christmas you did not like? CNN has a story for you titled, What to Do When Someone Gives You a Gift You Really Don't Want? Did you spend too much on Christmas? Well, Entrepreneur.com has a story for you book lovers titled, The Best 15 Books on Frugal Living You Need to Read. CNN reports a study confirms the secret to better coffee is to add water to the beans before grinding them. I will have to try it the next time I hand grind my beans. The Washington Post's Ruth Marcus wrote a column titled, Harvard's Claudine Gay Should Resign. I can't imagine any circumstances under which Gay should or could remain in her position. JLN published the last of the news interviews from FIA Expo over the weekend, this one with CELA's Alex Lamb. I'm not sure why we did not publish it earlier, but we finally have. The last interview from Expo we still have to publish is the one I did with former NYMEX and FINRA CIO Sam Gare for the Path to Electronic Trading video series. The Financial Times today offers the climate game, Can You Reach Net Zero by 2050? The goal is to keep global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius by cutting energy-related carbon dioxide emissions to net zero by 2050. In 2021, they reached a record 36 billion tons a year. You must also deal with other greenhouse gases and protect people and nature for the planet to remain habitable. The FT says the game was created by the International Energy Agency, IEA, for the FT, and is based on published scientific research and bespoke modeling by the IEA. Good luck. The planet is counting on you, says the FT. Learn more and play the game with a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's the video. CELA's Alex Lamb discusses integrated risk and compliance at FIA Expo 2023. Risk and compliance are more closely related than in the past, Alex Lamb told John Lothian News at FIA Expo 2023 in a video interview in which he shared his perspective on the evolving interplay between risk management and compliance within financial institutions. Watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, a years-long way to boost stock market returns. Investors generally wait too long to harvest tax losses from their portfolios, leaving billions on the table. Holiday lights, ugly sweaters, and culling your losses. December is the month American investors are bombarded with reminders to dig through their portfolios for the stocks or funds they wish they hadn't bought. Their consolation prize is the ability to reap tax savings and boost long-run returns. But making tax loss harvesting a seasonal exercise means lots of money is left on the table. My comment. Now they tell me. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline, the festive case for faith-based investing. Underestimating the power of belief has led me to make some terrible financial and economic calls. It's hardly Christopher Hutchins debating Rabbi Shumli Boteach, but around this time of year, online atheists and chat room believers love to thrash out an age-old debate. Why God and not Santa? The adult Homo sapiens keep faith in the former and not in the latter doesn't seem inconsistent to me. A child soon questions how their bike could fit down a chimney, whereas God offers life after death. It just makes more sense. My comment. I know a lot of faith-based investors or investors who put on a trade and pray. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, what poker can teach you about winning at work. Women poker players teach professionals how to play the game to get savvy about their careers. That's one of the first lessons in poker, and it's an important concept to grasp at work too. Bluffing. Rapid risk assessment and reading the person across the room from you in real time are all required skills in business. They're also a big reason why so many ambitious professionals learn to play Texas Hold'em and other poker variations, and why powerful executives seek the advice of Annie Duke, a cognitive science PhD and former professional poker player who teaches an executive education course on how to become decisive at the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania. Women, especially, are missing a lot of these skills that men are taught when they grow up playing poker, says Jenny Just, a fintech founder who helped start Poker Power, an organization to teach women to play. My comment. Another Jenny Just story about the power of poker on Christmas Day. Today is the anniversary of a story about me in the Wall Street Journal 21 years ago, written by Peter McKay. It only took the slowest news day of the year and the birth of Christ to get me into the journal, but I was in, and they did a dot drawing of me, too. Here is another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, the return of the pagans. Hug a tree or a dollar bill, and the pagan in you shines through. Take a close look at Donald Trump, the lavishness of his homes, the buildings emblazoned with his name and adorned with gold accoutrements, his insistent ego, even the degree of obeisance he evokes among his followers, and despite the fervent support he receives from many evangelical Christians, it's hard to avoid concluding that there's something a little pagan about the man. Or consider Elon Musk, with his drive to conquer space or expand the human empire, his flirtation with anti-Semitic tropes, his 10 children with 3 different women, Musk embodies the wealth worship and ideological imperialism of ego that are more than a little pagan too. My comment. Interesting story about what it means now and earlier to be a pagan. Here are the top 3 stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story Friday was Musk's blast public markets, saying indexing has gone too far from Bloomberg. Second was AI robot outmaneuvers humans in May's run breakthrough, also from Bloomberg. Third was U.S. threatens sanctions on banks that help fund Russia's war machine from the Financial Times. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first one is from the New York Times. The headline, this NYU student owns a $6 million crypto mine. His secret is out. A legal dispute in a tiny Texas town unexpectedly reveals how Chinese nationals can move money to the U.S. without drawing the attention of authorities in either country. Jerry Yu has the trappings of what the Chinese call second-generation rich. He boasts a Connecticut prep school education. He lives in a Manhattan condominium bought for $8 million from Jeffrey R. Immelt, the former General Electric chief executive, and he is the majority owner of a Bitcoin mine in Texas, acquired last year for more than $6 million. Mr. Yu, a 23-year-old student at New York University, has also become quite unintentionally a case study in how Chinese nationals can move money from China to the United States without drawing the attention of authorities in either country. The Texas facility, a large computing center, was not purchased with dollars. Instead, it was bought with cryptocurrency, which offers anonymity with the transaction routed through an offshore exchange, preventing anyone from knowing the origin of the financing. Here's another story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, China is caught stealing AI secrets to turbocharge spying, U.S. says. U.S. officials are worried about hacking and insider theft of AI secrets, which China has denied. On a July day in 2018, Zhao Lang Zhang headed to the San Jose, California airport to board a flight to Beijing. He had passed the checkpoint at Terminal B when his journey was abruptly cut short by federal agents. After a tip-off by Apple's security team, the former Apple employee was arrested and charged with stealing trade secrets related to the company's autonomous driving program. It was a skirmish in a continuing shadow war between the U.S. and China for supremacy in artificial intelligence. The two rivals are seeking any advantage to jump ahead in mastering a technology with the potential to reshape economies, geopolitics, and war. Artificial intelligence has been on the Federal Bureau of Investigation's list of critical U.S. technologies to protect, just as China placed it on a list of technologies it wanted its scientists to achieve breakthroughs on by 2025. China's AI capabilities are already believed to be formidable, but U.S. intelligence authorities have lately made new warnings beyond the threat of intellectual property theft. And then here's another story also from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, tech hubs are losing the talent war to everywhere else. As the tech industry grows, talent and funding are spreading out. That's bolstering small cities all across the country. Silicon Valley and other tech hubs are losing the tech talent war. Metro areas that consistently attracted huge numbers of tech workers have hit a turning point, according to fresh data from labor market analytics firm Lightcast, crunched by DC think tank Brookings. The share of the nation's tech workers who work in places such as Silicon Valley, San Francisco, Boston, New York, Los Angeles, and the greater Washington, D.C. area is actually shrinking. We appreciate your attentive audience for the John Lothian News Daily Update. Kindly think about sharing our podcast with your friends. Additionally, if you haven't already, we would be grateful if you could take a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, or whatever platform you are listening to us on. Your reviews aid in introducing our content to new listeners. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can enjoy a complimentary 90-day trial by visiting johnlothiannews.com/trial. Thank you for your support. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. Happy Boxing Day. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.